Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome on into the Wolverine.com podcast. Clayton Safey alongside Anthony Broom and Chris Ballas coming to you on Thursday, January 12th here. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're watching there. We appreciate you for doing that. Like this video as well. Hit the thumbs up button. And as always, head to the Wolverine.com for premium access over there. All sorts of stuff on the Jim Harbaugh front, football, basketball, recruiting year-round. $29.99 for premium access until the football season, so August 31. Cut you a deal there, and then hopefully re-up with us at that point. But go and do that right now. We'll talk some football. We got some roster stuff to get to. We'll start with Harbaugh and then get to a little bit of Michigan basketball, which plays tonight against Iowa, and some people may be listening to this after the fact, so keep that in mind as well. But starting with Jim Harbaugh, obviously been in the news over the last several days, week and a half-ish, really since Michigan got back from Glendale, Arizona for the Fiesta Bowl. Virtual interview with the Denver Broncos on Monday. Ongoing negotiations, it seems, with Michigan throughout the last several days, really throughout this whole span. And then Santa Ono as well, playing a factor in those negotiations. Nothing yet. There hasn't been a second interview or in-person interview with the Broncos at this point. That could happen, obviously. And there hasn't been an extension right now, so it's kind of a lull, and it feels oddly similar to a year ago.
Yeah, I think people now understand what happened last year, right, that he went up to Minnesota expecting to take the job, as we reported, and I think that he's going to exhaust his NFL options this year, and he's going to see, you know what, if – it's going to happen. I believe that. I strongly do. And that's why I don't think we'll hear anything until Sean Payton interviews with Denver and decides whether or not he wants to be the guy there. I think he's their number one. I don't know that Jim Harbaugh is number two. I've heard reports that he is, but I've also heard that they're using that as a bargaining chip for Sean Payton. And I think they have to give a couple picks to New Orleans, if I'm not mistaken. So that makes sense too. So there are other guys, I think Dan Quinn, that they wanted to interview. I'm not sure where things stand with him. I will say it sounds like it's Denver or bust, kind of like it was Minnesota with, or bust last year. It doesn't sound like Indianapolis is all in with him, even though he's got history there. And the owner, Mr. Irsay, still likes him. So I think that there's probably a split there from what we've heard. The front office is probably not as enamored with him. So, but you know what? I've said it before. This was, you know, last year was not going to be a one-time deal. I didn't think if he had a good year this year that he would explore it again. And that's exactly what he's doing. We can blame anybody we want to, and we can talk about, you know, the lowballing and, you know, people are out there criticizing Ward Manuel. I think what it comes down to is that Jim Harbaugh has an itch that he wants scratched. I still think that there is some, I still think there are some hard feelings about the contract from a couple of years ago getting cut in half. And, you know, you add it all up. I'm grateful that Santa Ono is there because I think you have a couple of guys with egos that, you know, I'm not budging type of thing. And you've got a new president in there who loves intercollegiate athletics and who's fantastic, who will at least try to help get this done, which is more than they've done for other coaches they've lost, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, good on Santa Ono. I think that he's a guy like we would never – there's not a multiversal scenario where we're having this discussion and we're talking about Mark Schlissel stepping in on negotiations like this. Like, it's not possible. So Santa Ono, I mean, you give him credit, and it's the same time kind of feel sorry for him because he's in between these two massive egos at the moment. You know, the thing with, you know, there's, again, the doing the blame game stuff. I don't, and we don't have the energy to do that for really what is the third off season in a row. I think that it's clear, you know, we talk about not judging people by their words, judge them by their actions. To me, this is more than just a bargaining chip. I think Jim Harbaugh clearly still has the itch that he'd like to scratch. I think that the no man knows the future comment has always been sort of an emotional hedge at best or at worst, however you want to put it. It's been a, you know, not tipping your hand in a negotiation type of setting hedge. But at the same time, there should be no reservations from Michigan in terms of paying him market value. And if that's what he wants and that's what he needs to feel respected, you know, he's got to give a little bit of ground too in terms of if this buyout is a sticking point, which some people believe that it is. So the fact that we're doing this again, I mean, I tweeted this either the other day, whatever it was. We should be talking about the golden era and this building of a monolith that is Michigan football right now. Not at all unlike what happened with Clemson and what's happening at Georgia. You're 25-3 over your last 2 years. You have beaten Ohio State twice. You've won 2 Big Ten championships. You've been to the playoff twice. This should all be building to you owning college football, owning the Big Ten for the next 5 to 10 years. But instead, we still have consternation over a contract. We still have factions when it comes to NIL. And this is all self-inflicted stuff on the leadership at Michigan. And that's disappointing. I'm not going to sit here and say that the future is doomed and dark. The next year or two, I think the window stays open. But again, like this should be the foundations being set for a dominant 5 to 10 year stretch. And it's just, it's a one of one situation for Jim Harbaugh. And it's a one of one situation with the university. And I don't know that it happens anywhere else with their head coach. And it certainly doesn't happen anywhere else in terms of how the institution decides to go about its business. So it's exhausting. And again, you know, it's not clickbait. Like, we'd rather sit here and talk about what the depth chart looks like for next year and guys that have decisions to make and things like that. But it's another episode of As the Harbaugh Turns.
Yeah. Clickbait. That's hilarious. Right. We aren't the ones creating this story. So, and I do want to say real quick, Clay, before I throw it back to you, that as of Wednesday night, they had made a lot of progress in terms of the buyout. And in terms of the quote that we got from somebody directly involved was they are, you know, pretty much on the same page with the contract. Now, it's to the point where if Jim doesn't sign it this week and he waits until next week, then it's very clear to me that he's waiting to see what happens with Denver before he signs a deal with Michigan. And, one of his friends actually reached out again and said, when this all started again, that he wants the NFL. And I strongly believe that there's part of him that does. I know that he loves this team. I know that he loves JJ McCarthy and all those guys. At the same time, you know, like he said last year and admitted when he went up to Minnesota expecting to take that job, there was part of him that, you know what, you get that close to the Super Bowl and you still want it. And who could blame him with the NIL stuff and the way college football is now either, guys. But there are better ways to handle it, in my opinion. So I think there's a lot of blame to go around.
Yeah, the interesting part to me is I do believe that, you know, he still maybe has that wandering eye about the NFL. But when you look at it from a Michigan standpoint, too, and you heard things, you know, last week with how Michigan's offer maybe wasn't as, you know, in tune with what he wanted, it makes you wonder, you know, maybe why they wouldn't be more than willing, to keep him happy, keep him here, that sort of thing. And, you know, throw him an offer that he can't really say no to or doesn't. Hey, maybe that NFL itch, quote unquote, goes away a little bit more. It's hard to know without knowing exactly what's said in these rooms. But I think that's kind of a factor as well. Have to also mention, you know, maybe during that time there was the NCAA notice of allegations that were looming. They wanted to see exactly what was going on there.
Yep.
Still, you know, you got to believe they had some sort of knowledge of what was maybe going to come down with that, and to then, you know, maybe not throw out an offer that's as good on the Jim Harbaugh side. Seems a little bit weird to me, but that kind of factors in. And then you have all sorts of people out there saying, well, they need to give him a deadline. You know, they need to give him a day that, you know, you either walk away, you know, you walk away if he doesn't sign by then. To me, I disagree with that. If you do that and he says no, then you have no chance of having him. And like, we're talking about an elite coach here, potentially, you know, one of the top in all of college football. And considering what, you know, with kind of one hand tied behind his back with how other programs around the country operate, maybe the best possible fit for Michigan, even if it isn't always comfortable at times, I think that would be a bad decision. What do you guys say to the people who are kind of throwing that out there? It makes sense in a negotiation. It's not a dumb thought, but I just don't think it's the right way to go.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Louis Jewelers, celebrate the moments.
Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You okay. Hear me? Yeah, I was going to say, okay, I'll go. Yeah, I said, go ahead, Anthony, but I'll go. Clay, I think, first of all, yeah, bring me your best offer first is I think something where, when you've won the Big Ten twice, you've annihilated Ohio State twice, you've made it to the college football playoff. Now, granted, in the last 2 years, and especially this year, what a missed opportunity against Texas Christian. It's unfortunate, but at the same time, who could do at Michigan what Jim Harbaugh did without the help of, what they do at Alabama and Georgia without getting into specifics, right? And not very many. So we're not just talking about one of the elite coaches in college football. We're talking about one of the elite coaches in football for the last 20 years. Because you look at guys like Nick Saban, I guess Pete Carroll would be up there, and we've mentioned this before, but you look at guys like Nick Saban, who failed miserably in the NFL, regardless of what a couple people on the fort would say, he was like, I can't do this. And, so I'm going to go run back to Alabama where they're going to fill me up with the best talent in the country. And, I'll reap all the rewards. And I question how much he and Kirby Smart even have to recruit anymore. Or ever have, frankly, right. Whereas Jim Harbaugh had to bust his ass to get kids here to Michigan and be very involved. That's a lot. He's doing more flat out and with a hand tied behind his back. So I give him credit for that. So as for the NCAA stuff, they've cleared that hurdle too. You guys can read about it at thewolverine.com, but I think Jim has admitted his culpability, and from what we understood it was a couple of kids that showed up on an impromptu visit that were already committed during COVID and came hundreds of miles, so Jim said, let me get you a burger or something like that, or for breakfast, and the NCAA is gonna come down on you for that. So ridiculous, but anyway, and I think that, but they have his back on that, and I think that hurdle was cleared yesterday in terms of negotiating with him. So, but I think that was on the table initially, where like, hey, that's a potential issue when it comes to bargaining with Jim Harbaugh. So regardless, here we are, guys, and what is today, the 11th? I'm looking
12th.
Yep. Thank God. At least it's one day closer. So every day is like a cigarette or a pack of cigarettes. It takes, like I said, these coaching searches take years off our lives. So, but we're getting there. And at one way or another, this is going to be resolved in a couple of weeks. Like I said, I would strongly believe that they would go internally for the hire at this point. And, there are pluses and minuses to that. I'm going to throw it to Anthony. You keep your team together, but in the long term, you're going with somebody who's unproven, probably a guy like Sherrone Moore.
Yeah. And it's no disrespect to Sherrone Moore. I think that he is more than capable of leading a program. I think it's just, you worry about that being a first time job and potentially drinking out of the fire hose, especially with expectations. I mean, if the idea that you stay internal to kind of keep the band together, you look at the way this roster is shaping up. This is kind of like, I'll say, I mean, next year is like, it's one of those, if you don't win a national title or don't get there, it's disappointing. So that's a lot of pressure to put on a first year guy. I mean, Marcus Freeman had less pressure on him last year, and kind of Notre Dame sort of stumbled out of the gate there. So again, I mean, I think they have the roster now for the next year or two to stay as competitive as they've been. But in terms of like holding the potential NCAA stuff over Harbaugh's head in a negotiation, I mean, that's just either you support the guy or you don't. I think that the idea that we're, if you're hesitant to hand out a 10-year contract, fine. I mean, pay him what James Franklin's making, pay him what Mel Tucker's making, make it for 5 or 6 years. I mean, if you have to put a little bit more money in his pocket every offseason to adjust for market value, I don't know why there's a hesitance to do that. You know, it's one of those things where I think you've seen a pattern in some of these recent, some of the coaching attrition that Michigan Athletics has had, where, you know, John Beilein leaves, Eric Bakich leaves, you know, Mel Pearson gets forced out the door, where there's this idea from the administration that, oh, well, because it's Michigan and because we have these resources, we can just kind of take the baton and keep going. And, you know, they, Michigan basketball has been fine under Juwan Howard for the most part, but they're not what they were before. And Michigan baseball will probably never be that good again. Sorry, no disrespect to Tracy Smith, but Eric Bakich is one of the best coaches probably at any level of the sport. So there's a little bit of, there's a lot of hubris on both sides. And I will go back to the refrain from you, Chris. We are one day closer to it being done. Feels like we've been one day closer for 3 years now, but at some point, this can't, it just can't be a yearly thing. And I feel like we said it last year, but it's a thing again this year. This is not good for long-term health. And the fact that you have two prominent figures of the university in the athletic department and leading, you know, the biggest athletic program, that's an issue. And that's when the dust settles on whatever this contract thing is, that's the next thing that Santa Ono needs to address, is that how do we make sure this never happens again?
Yeah, and going to the NCAA thing too, if it did impact maybe what an initial offer was, to me, that's it's kind of looking for a reason to maybe be able to get a deal, like, oh, now maybe we can, you know, shave off $1 million here or something like that. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, be covering it at thewolverine.com. So come join us over there. Pretty exciting time of the year, of course. Let's talk a little bit of roster. As we kind of have over the last few weeks, really in December as well, transfer portal opens. Michigan does really well there. A few NFL decisions still coming. Trevor Keegan, Zach Zinter, Blake Corum, as he said the other day to John Jansen, he's working on those guys, trying to get them to come back. Also waiting on Michael Barrett, Cornelius Johnson, Chris Jenkins now maybe on the fence, according to Pete Thamel. But you have Blake Corum back. You brought in some nice transfers. The roster looks really, really good. You're waiting on a couple more guys here. If they could get one or both of those two offensive linemen back, Trevor Keegan or Zach Zinter, you are looking at an offense with really sky-high potential. I still think the receiver position may be lacking a little bit, but with the way Michigan runs the ball, it would be massive. What do you guys think about maybe some of the decisions coming down the pike here? They have 3 days until the deadline, so it's coming up really, really crunch time at this point.
Guys want to get paid. Flat out. It's as simple as that. And we've got NIL guys involved with NIL boosters that are willing to do that, I think. So, and have made that clear. So I think it bodes well. I think Keegan and Zinter both return, believe it or not. And that there are people willing to make that happen. It's almost like somebody compared it to like the Chicago Bulls one last run or whatever it was called. The last dance. And, you know, said, hey, you know what? Might as well go out in style. But it doesn't have to be that way. That's what bothers me here, right? It's like Anthony said, this could be a 5 to 10 year run where you are on top of the Big Ten and you've got the 10-year war going again. Please don't blow it. But it seems like they're on the verge of doing that. But I do think these guys love it here. This is a different group, right? These are not guys that are like Donovan Peoples-Jones, who can't wait to get out of here, you know, or Tariq Black. These are guys that love playing here and want to play for the uniform and want to win for Michigan and understand that if they play well, they are going to get theirs. And we're seeing that. And I love that. That's why I love this class. I love these two classes underneath them, this freshman and sophomore classes, guys. That's why this program is going to be good for the next 2, 3, 4 years here, is because as long as you get a quarterback, and we've seen, looking at Notre Dame and others, that you can get one from the portal if you have to. And the way that Michigan's been able to navigate the portal, they can plug some guys in. So, yeah, we'll see. But I basically lost my train of thought now, Clay, and I don't even remember what the first question was, but the guy's coming back. Yeah. So I think the vast majority are. I was really disappointed that Jamon Green didn't, because I think he would have had a really good opportunity to boost his draft stock. But you know what? When you don't know if your coach is going to be here and you don't know what your NIL money is going to be and everything else, then it's hard for me to blame him.
Yeah, last time that I checked, it looked like that one more year fund that the Valiant guys had set up was around, I think, 87.5 grand right now, which again, that's not gonna fund everything, but and they don't factor in the more than $5,000 donors in there. But
and there are a lot of those.
There are a lot of them too. Yes. So there is it does feel like that's maybe the most frustrating thing about what the last couple weeks have been, is because like it does feel like they're on the verge of pushing through something. And almost as important now as bringing in blue chip players is retaining NFL players. If Zach Sinner and Trevor Keegan, those guys would be on NFL rosters next fall. If you have them on your roster next fall, that just makes your chances of getting back and doing what you've done even more. So it's to have those guys back would be huge. And, you know, they're always going to be, you know, the guys that are still on the board, again, they aren't guys that are, oh, well, maybe they get drafted. Maybe they be a camp body. No, the guys that are on the board still, like Keegan, like Sinter, like Mike Barrett, I think there's a role for him in the NFL somewhere as a hybrid defender. These are guys that would be NFL players next fall, and to have them on your roster would be invaluable. Blake Corum coming back is huge. I mean, part of it's because I talked to an injury doctor earlier today, which is on the website right now, probably looking at about a 5 to 6 month recovery for him. So he would have missed. It's good for him in two ways, because he would have missed the entire NFL draft process. And it seems like he does have a good shot to get back at least physically to where he was. We'll see about workload and how much Michigan decides to use him there. But I mean, this is, you have to recruit those blue chip guys, but you also have to, you know, the Alabamas and the Georgias, like they always have those one or two or three guys that could be playing on Sundays that decide to stay, and they become kind of the nucleus of their team next year. And that's, you know, if you're telling me you can almost run it back next year with basically the same roster and maybe even younger, better, more athletic in a few areas, namely at the edge rusher position, you know, on the defensive line as well. That's massive news. I mean, that gets lost in all of what's been talked about the last few weeks.
Yeah. And really a lot of the better Michigan players and really teams have been led by guys like that as well. That, you know, Hutch, even last season in 2021, you know, he could have gone pro and been a first rounder before that, but decides to come back. It does something special. You see that Blake Corum, that's kind of his message. What he said to those guys is, you know, hey, it's just one more year. We love it here anyway. Let's just do one more year. Then we can go off to the NFL. I see it. You know, I see where they're coming from when it comes to a last dance type of thing. That's their mentality. And some of them only have 1 year left anyway of eligibility. But obviously, I wouldn't want that to be, you know, anything that anyone in the administration or coaching staff is thinking, because it's all about the long-term health of the program. But exciting possibilities for next year. And Blake Corum coming back, you're right, AB, is like, it's like getting a 6 or 7 star recruit. I mean, a guy that may have won the Heisman Trophy had he finished the season healthy is coming back. And as you said, you know, should be able to make a full recovery. Which is obviously great news, and read your story earlier. People go check that out, because, you know, some good stuff there. And you have Donovan Edwards. You have other guys that, you know, are coming back as well. Plenty of firepower there. Corner with Jamon Green, I totally agree. Seemed like he was torn, like really all season, was planning on leaving. Gets pulled in one direction. Coach is trying to convince him to come back, and obviously ends up on maybe his original decision anyway. Not sure exactly how much Jim Harbaugh plays into that. I don't think much, you know, based on what we've heard. But you can, you know, now probably look at more corners in the portal as well. Something they were doing in December anyway, didn't land any, and that was really the one position they didn't fill back in December when they bring in 7 guys. So there's still that possibility. There's also young guys on this roster as well that, you know, could take that next step. Jaden McBurrows is going to be a junior, doesn't have much experience, but. And was coming off of an injury in the whole MSU situation. You have that. You have guys like Miles Pollard, others that could step forward as well. So, yeah, those decisions should be coming in the next few days on guys like Trevor Keegan, Zinter, Cornelius Johnson and all those guys. And we'll see kind of where that takes us. Talk about it next week. But
and I think yeah, they're holding out for Damani Jackson, right? So
that could be a thing. Who did he follow? What was his latest follow on Instagram? Who knows?
Don't care. I do not care. Yeah. So anyway, next topic.
We're going to talk about our friends at Prize Picks before we finish up with some Michigan basketball. So it is basketball season and NFL playoffs are here. There is not a better way to enjoy watching your favorite team than by playing daily fantasy with our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the simplest form of real money, daily fantasy sports, and just pits you against the numbers. At Prize Picks, you aren't competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Whether you're a fantasy sports nut or a casual fan looking to add some excitement to the games, Prize Picks is the perfect game for you. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, my favorite sport, Euro basketball, cricket, and many more. Have some picks this week. I got a little Kobe LeBron special this week. I got Kobe Bufkin tonight against Iowa. More than 14 points. I think he'll be able to do some things against an Iowa defense. You know, see a little 2-3 zone. They're not as good guarding two-point shots. Kobe is a nice, strong finisher at the rim. I'll take him. I'll also take LeBron James. More than 32.5 points against the Dallas Mavericks. He has been going off lately, three out of his last four games. Over that mark, I will go with him. It should be a good game between him and Luka Doncic. Any picks for you guys this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the NFL, and I'm going to go, I think it's 47. Is it 45 for Ezekiel Elliott rushing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Yeah, he's going to go less than that. I think that Tampa Bay is going to be a motivated team. I think they're going to win that game, and it's because Tom Brady's, like Clayton said when we were talking off the air, is going to throw 50 times for about 330 yards. So, and that would be well more than the 274, I believe, that they have him at or something like that. So I like Tom Brady to eclipse that mark.
Yeah, Clayton likes to play disc golf in one of his fratty
really
polo shirts and his salmon-colored shorts. So
how do you know what I'm wearing? What
polo shorts I'm wearing? Stalker.
Hey, you know, style, man. Yeah. I'm gonna stick with the NFL playoffs. I'm going with more than 253.5 passing yards for Josh Allen against the Miami Dolphins. I think they roll in that game. And then Christian McCaffrey, more than 72.5 rush yards against the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks were gifted a playoff spot by the NFL thanks to some egregious officiating. And I think that the San Francisco 49ers will make them feel that on Sunday. So those are my two picks this week.
If the NFL had a committee like college football, the Lions would be in, no questions asked, but such is life.
Then we could hang a banner saying committee chose us, would have chosen us. That'd be the next banner.
That's true.
Yes.
Future is bright. So make sure to join us at Prize Picks. It's the best way to have action on the game in states like Michigan, Kentucky, Alabama, Florida, Texas, Georgia, and over 70% of the United States. Prize Picks is currently operational in over 30 states and Canada, not Ontario. You simply select 2 to 5 players, predict if they'll go more or less than their Prize Picks projection. As we did there, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. Download the Prize Picks app or visit prizepicks.com. Sign up using the code Wolverine to get an instant 100% bonus up to $100 on your first deposit. So join us there. Tweet at us. Hit us up on the message board and give us your picks. It's interesting to see what some of the people have as well. Maybe I'll trail some of those picks, put them in myself. So appreciate our sponsors, Prize Picks. Let's talk some Michigan basketball, where a team that looked like was kind of getting better there after the new year, after the wake-up call, players-only meeting after Central Michigan last December 29th. You pick up two huge wins, blowout Maryland, 10-point win over Penn State, and then you can't make a shot in the first half at Michigan State. And what was, you know, in hindsight, a very, very winnable game. And now you go into Iowa tonight on Thursday. It's going to be an uphill battle for this team to make the NCAA tournament. Chris, as you mentioned, one of our conversations off air, totally agree with you when you were talking earlier about how they have to start winning some of these games that they're not expected to win. They're 5.5-point dogs in Iowa City tonight. This would be a huge one. And Northwestern on Sunday also looks a little bit more daunting, quote unquote, than maybe it did a couple of weeks ago when you looked at this stretch. I remember us talking about that, how winnable these games are. Iowa's not unbeatable at all. They're good at home, but they got to start picking some of these up, and these would be a huge two. I was having this conversation the other day. If they win these two, go 2-0 here, I would start to feel a little bit better about their NCAA tournament chances, maybe tilt the scales in the 50% mark.
I was going to say they will have my attention if they win these two games. It's kind of like the Detroit Lions when they won like three or four in a row. And then you get to that fifth game. If they get this one, then they win this one. They had my attention before they rip my heart out and win and still don't make the playoffs. So, but yes, I think, like I said, it's close isn't good enough against the Kentuckys and the Virginias at home and things like that anymore. Now you've got opportunities in the Big Ten for some quad one wins that you have to have, because that Central Michigan loss was just god awful, with all due respect to Anthony Broom, the proud chip. So and no better time than tonight. You should be able to score some points here. They're playing better defensively, and that's what encourages me about this team. They are more dialed in. I thought they played well defensively in last three games, frankly. Mm-hmm. At times, against Penn State, they lost a couple shooters and things like that, but Penn State made some tough shots too, and we've seen how good Penn State is now. You know what? They just thrashed Indiana, I think it was, last night. So they're pretty solid. So, but now is the time, guys, and you know what? Let's start making it interesting again, because football's over and we need something to cover that's going to really excite us here the next couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about it before the Michigan State game, and obviously they would lose that game, which does not end their season by any stretch, but them saving their season started before that game. It was another opportunity for a big win on the road, and I think if you play just a little bit better, then you maybe win that game. Now we're talking about something that's really starting to roll here. You'd be 4-0 in conference play. That didn't happen. But, you know, you look at this next stretch of, you know, you just take this schedule in chunks. You know, this one tonight for them is huge. I think KenPom has them around 34-35% to win. I think about the same for the Maryland game. That's a week from tonight. So, I mean, you got to find a way to get a couple of these that you're not supposed to. And you should get one against Northwestern on Sunday. But, you know, nothing's a given with how inconsistent at times Michigan's effort has been. I'll say this, though. Since that Central Michigan game, Michigan is up about 40 spots on defense on KenPom. So their progress there is tangible. I've seen it. You see more of that attention to detail. They've taken rebounding to heart. They just need to be a little better. I'm not discouraged at all by the way they lost to Michigan State. I think that in a lot of ways their compete level and the fact that they did stick around in that game, I think they were down at 14 by 14 at one point in that mm-hmm. second half. They stayed in it. They made enough plays to get back in the game. Now you need to learn to make enough plays to completely pull yourself out of that rut. So again, you got Iowa next, Northwestern, Maryland, Minnesota's a game that, I mean, there's just no excuse to not win that game at all. And then, 2 weeks from tonight, Purdue will be at Chrysler Center. And that's another, we talk about needing to stack up wins and pile up wins in this conference. You probably need to get to 13 or 14 wins in conference play to feel at least somewhat secure in having a bid for the NCAA tournament. They're not there yet. There's a lot of work to do, but over the last, it's really been a three-game stretch since that Central Michigan game. There have been encouraging signs of life, but they need to turn into victories. There are no moral victories anymore this year.
In talking to some of the players after the Michigan State game on Saturday, it didn't feel like some sort of devastating loss. You know, and Hunter Dickinson said that too. That they got four down, they got 16 more to go in terms of Big Ten conference play. But Anthony, you bring up a good point. What's their magic number in Big Ten play? Because it's just not a really strong conference at this point. There are only three teams right now within the top 30 on KenPom. And then when you look at, it's been the opposite in recent years. And last year, every one they got was like gold, because, you know, those were either quad one, quad two, but a lot of them quad one. And, it's just not going to be the case, it looks like, this year. It's not like the Big 12, which has all but one team in the top 32, which is insane. They could all realistically get in. They'll probably beat up on each other enough to not have that happen, but just crazy. So you got to get some of these. Iowa would be a huge one tonight. We'll continue to monitor that as well over at thewolverine.com. coverage after the game and Michigan basketball on Sunday as well against Northwestern. Anything else, fellas, before we wrap up?
Eat at Mr. Spots. I'm not paid to say that, but I just like those guys. And I like
NIL, baby. NIL. It is the best. Yep. It is the best.
It is the best.
Support yep. Mr. Spots.
There you go.
The Red Wings, Anthony says.
Final, just disclaimer for me. Repping the Red Wings, someone will watch this and be like, you are scarlet and red or a scarlet and gray on a podcast. And to be frank with you, I didn't think about it until I saw myself on video. So apologies.
It's a Red Wings shirt for crying out loud. Yep. There you go. Yep.
I'm going to make a burner and comment that just so we have it.
Perfect. I wouldn't doubt it. Good stuff.
Make sure to like the video if you're watching on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. We appreciate all of you for giving us your support there. Head to thewolverine.com. As always, premium access, $29.99 until the football season. As you can tell, still plenty to talk about over there. So you're going to want to be in on the action. Appreciate everybody listening and watching, and we'll see you next time.